Well, when Andrew says about being prepared, well, you can never be prepared. And I'm not prepared. Not prepared at all. All I can say is that these are not all my words, but I think they're very appropriate. Right at the beginning, the word love came to mind, and it kept repeating itself to me. So here we go anyway. In 1 John 4 verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. The amazing thing about the kind of love that God shows for us is that it is not dependent on anything we did, we are doing, or will ever do. He loved us without our ever knowing one thing about him. It was enough that God knew about us. In Romans 5 verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I was going to say at the beginning that I sort of started off with a few questions like, how much does God love us? And does God love us when we sin? Well, he loves us just the same, whatever we do. I mean, I wasn't here yesterday morning, and I couldn't be here yesterday morning, and I'm going to listen to the tape or the whatever. And maybe I'd have written it differently, but anyway, let me continue anyway. The disciple John wrote more about love than any other biblical author. In his letters 1, 2 and 3 John, he wrote much about it being a word of action. He admonished us to love one another because God is love. John repeatedly stated that in one action, God absolutely demonstrated his love. He maintained that we could find God's love in the life and death of Jesus, his son. Jesus left the comfort and beauty of heaven to become man in every way. He was tempted. He suffered pain, thirst, hunger, sleep deprivation, grief, and loneliness. All the things we might encounter. He experienced life and then he died for the death of a criminal. He died the death of a criminal on a cross, after nearly being beaten to death. He did nothing to deserve death. He was totally without sin. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
Jesus loved the men who placed a crown of thorns upon his head and spat upon him and mocked him. Jesus loved the men who whipped him and beat him beyond human recognition. Jesus loved those who saw him carrying the cross up Golgotha's mountain and jeered at him and cursed him. He even loved those, I'm getting a bit emotional now. Now other people have done this and they've got emotional, I think. Don't be stupid. You just can't help it. He even loved those who nailed his hands and feet to the cross and gave him vinegar instead of water when he said that he was thirsty. The evidence that God loved his tormentors is that he never struck or cursed them. He never tried to defend himself, though he was innocent and did not deserve to die. He could have called legions of angels to rescue him, and he didn't, because he is God incarnate. He could have destroyed every one of them without lifting a finger, but he didn't. He endured the torture and humiliation at the hands of evil people because he loved them and loves mankind. He knew that his death was the only way that humanity would have a chance to be reconciled to God and to have a personal relationship with him. Does God love me? That is, you, us. Absolutely. The Bible says that God knows the number of hairs on your head. It says that God knows your thoughts afar. He knows your thought afar off from his heavenly abode and is intimately acquainted with all of your ways. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Why would God take so much interest in you if he didn't love you? God's love has been made known to us, and now he stands at the door and knocks. It's up to every individual to either pursue a personal relationship with God, or else reject him outright. The only barrier between us and God's love is our own free will, and Jesus Christ is the door. John 4 verse 6 said, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Salvation is a free gift bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. There is no other way. Galatians 2 verse 21 says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. You can't earn God's forgiveness through good works. How will doing the good works that you should have done all your life make up for the countless times you've failed? God's no fool. In Jeremiah 2 verse 22, you can use an abundance of soap, the stain of your guilt is still before me. A man once fell on his knees before Christ and begged, as it Mark 1 4, verse 40-41, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Christ, filled with compassion, replied, I am willing, be clean. We too can fall on our knees and acknowledge God's only provision for our sins. We too can hear, I am willing, be clean. Christ willingly took God's righteous indignation upon himself so that you don't have to. Whoever accepts his death upon the cross as payment for their sins will be reconciled to the God whom they've offended. And in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18 and 19. All this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Will you accept God's love today?